You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I want to talk about kicking the habit. Kicking any habit for that matter, overcoming smoking cigarettes, drinking, overeating, whatever it is, how to know when you or someone else has truly kicked the habit. I know oftentimes we feel that when somebody quits something that, you know, they've kicked the habit, but is quitting and kicking the habit the same thing? I don't think so. I don't think so because it can't be, because we can quit something, but in order to actually move past that, we got to kick the habit. And a long time ago, I want to talk about my personal life real quick because I think it adds some clarity and light into the situation. Years and years ago, I quit smoking for the first time. And when I first quit smoking, I remember like for the first like 3 or 4 years, I quit for 7 years. For the first 3 or 4 years, I was like adamant about, you know, not wanting to be around smokers and couldn't handle it. When I was at a restaurant, when somebody was smoking around me, I got very angry, very upset. I would talk to the manager and tell them, you know, you've got to move me. I can't be here. I can't sit here any longer. This is overwhelming. I can't breathe. Constant. When it came to people smoking around me, it just was something I couldn't handle. And it's funny because I didn't realize at that time, and I didn't realize for that first 7 years, that I had actually not kicked the habit. I had only quit. You know, some of us can hear about people that quit drinking and they call them dry drunks. And I don't necessarily like that terminology so much. But what it is they've never really overcome alcohol. I mean, you can stop drinking, but you might not lose the craving or the thought patterns or the process about wanting to have that until you've actually moved forward. So going back to my own personal story. Okay, so I quit smoking, and I remember the day I quit smoking, I was in a Home Depot, parking lot, and my husband made a comment. He pointed at this lady and said, you know, if you keep smoking, you're going to look like her. And God bless her. I mean, but she looked quite a bit older. And it wasn't all about that. I started just thinking about, what am I doing? I mean, I was stressed out and working hard, and I was using it as kind of a crutch. But at the same time, I'm thinking, how long am I going to live if I keep smoking like this? And how am I going to look? And how's my skin going to be? And all that good stuff. So I quit the very next day. Actually, I quit later that day. And I was proud of myself, but it was tough. I mean, it was tough. It was an uphill battle because I smoked every day. And, you know, I mean, when you smoke for that long, too, you're used to it. It's something you do. I didn't wake up in the morning to smoke, so that was the only difference. I usually smoked, and this will make you laugh. It was almost like, you know, how people wait to drink after 5 o'clock. I usually wouldn't smoke my first cigarette till 5. Okay, so I would do like the daily countdown at work, you know, like, you know, 2 o'clock, I got 3 more hours, you know, 3 o'clock, okay, 2 more hours, 4 o'clock, oh, I'm on the home stretch at 5. I mean, it was like 1 minute till 5, I'm outside smoking a cigarette. I mean, yeah, that was, you know, committing to a time level, but I was definitely addicted to smoking. And so when I quit, I was really adamant about not being around smokers. And it's funny because my dad was the same. When he quit smoking, and he quit cold, he quit permanently like I did. And when he quit, same thing. And I remember we'd go out to dinner together or something like that, and the next thing you know, my dad'd be like, you're talking to the manager, there's a guy over there smoking, I can't smell my food, I gotta be moved, I've gotta move somewhere, I can't deal with this. And so I just assumed that kind of quitting and that kind of attitude was a normal attitude that all ex-smokers had. I didn't realize that's not really the truth. So I went on for years and years with that same mentality like my father. And it was funny because I remember when he had quit, I was young, I was still in high school, and he would make such a stink about someone smoking. And I just assume that's what ex-smokers do. Okay, that's just the way life is. You know, when you quit smoking, you are like the poster child of the anti-smoking person. You know, I hated smoking. I never wanted to smoke. Oh my God, this is awful. I got to quit this. You know, these people have got to get away from me. They've got to wake up. You know, it's like when you find God, you know, I can't believe these charlatans out there have been screwing around for so long, you know, bunch of hypocrites. And, you know, and so it's funny. Because I thought that was the case. And so I was kind of mimicking my dad's style. And I didn't realize that that style, no matter mimicking or not, is not the true style of someone who has really kicked the habit. Because if you think about it, you can quit something, but do you quit thinking about it? Do you quit wanting it? Or do you do that out of necessity, right? And then how do you feel about it? I've worked with clients who quit drinking, and some of them, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like nails on a chalkboard. Oh, just thinking about that makes me kind of like shake. Ugh. Nails on a chalkboard. Ugh. I did it again. So yeah, the idea of them not drinking is painful. Okay. But they go through it, you know, white knuckle it on a daily basis. But there are some folks that literally can walk into a bar, hang out with their friends, have iced tea, not feel one bit of pain about not drinking and move on. And yeah, they might think about it for a second, but they don't, it doesn't take up their entire mind share. Okay. And they don't have to avoid places that people drink. And that's what I'm talking about on today's show, is that when we've quit something, but we haven't really let it go from our life, we find problems in where we are. We look at situations and we say, wow, look at all those smokers. I got to go somewhere else. Or for somebody that quit drinking, look at all those drinkers. I got to go somewhere else. I mean, nowadays, if you've quit drinking, but you haven't kicked the habit of drinking, you can't even go into a Whole Foods. Okay? A Whole Foods. You walk into Whole Foods, and there's people, they have a bar now, by the way. I don't know if y'all realize that, but they have beer and wine. And people walking around the store holding like a glass of wine while they shop. Never seen anything like it. And so if you have an issue with drinking and you quit but you haven't really dealt with it, it's hard to go to the grocery store. I mean, think about, I think the toughest addiction is a food addiction. Okay, I know you heard it here for the first time probably. Food addiction, it's a real thing. Right? Because people get addicted to food. Because you get addicted to something that makes you feel a certain way. Okay? So for some of us, when we eat, it makes us feel good. It makes us feel comfortable. It makes us feel safe. That's why they call some food comfort food. How can food be comfortable? Really? But think about it. If you're addicted to food and you're around a bunch of foodies, there's even a group of people called foodies. They even make jokes about that. I mean, think about just going into a restaurant, a grocery store, a convenience store, a coffee shop, for God's sakes. There's food everywhere. It's way different from being like addicted to cocaine. There's no cocaine over at the Whole Foods. You're not running into the cocaine dealers over at the Whole Foods, you know, between the sports drinks and the power bars, right? You got to actually call someone up to get that and set up a time and rendezvous with your dealer. Totally different deal. There's not cocaine at the coffee shop. I mean, some of you might say that your coffee has something in it, but I'm not going to analyze that today. But however, think about it. And when you quit, but you haven't really kicked the habit, it's painful because you feel a little out of control. You feel edgy a lot. You feel overwhelmed a lot. You get upset about where you are and your feelings and your thoughts about certain things. And you don't find that stability that you want, and some of us just want to run away, or some of us want to get angry. And that's one of the interesting things, is that when we are fearful, upset, stressed out, overwhelmed, we get angry. We get angry. Because it's the easiest emotion, because we don't want to show like the sad side, or the crying side, or the painful side. We want to be in charge, and so if we're going to be in charge, we're going to be mad. You know, real men, real women get mad. They get even. And I think that when we look at those situations and realize when we're getting mad, it's just because we feel out of control, or we feel scared, or what we feel unable to stick to our mission and to stay, you know, to stay clean. And so when I return, I'm going to be talking about the indications, the indicators, you know, the flags really, that show you, that illustrate the fact that someone has truly not kicked a habit in their life. And when you get this information, it's going to truly open your eyes to the people around you, even to maybe a situation in your own life where you realize why something is affecting you as much as it is. Because oftentimes we feel that when we quit something or we've walked away from a relationship, that everything is over, very finite. It's it, done deal, you know, moving on, cut that out of my life. But is that really the truth? Often not. Often we're overwhelmed with the situation. We're constantly looking at it, trying to figure stuff out, as well as wondering, honestly, you know, how do we honestly kick the habit? And I'm going to explain that a little later on, too. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, well, you know, this time, yeah, I'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I'm talking about kicking the habit. How to know when you've truly kicked a habit, how to know when you've only just quit, and some of those tips and guidelines to knowing what side of it you're on and how to overcome it. You know, oftentimes when we quit a habit, well, let's just say we quit smoking, right? And you quit smoking and you haven't had a cigarette, you haven't had one in, you know, 2-3 weeks, and everybody you see smoking just bothers the living crap out of you. Look at these people over there smoking. I can't breathe. Can you breathe? I'm trying to eat my food. Can you breathe? Sir, go to the manager. I need to be moved. I need to be moved inside. If I can't be around people that aren't smoking, I cannot stand outside. I can't believe these people are smoking all over the place when you were just smoking 3 weeks ago. Okay, but all of a sudden it's like a reformed, you know, it's like a reformed Christian, you know, we're gonna prophesize, and not that I have any issue with it, but you know what I'm saying, when people have been like really crazy their whole life, doing some really crazy stuff, and you've been watching it from the sidelines, and the next thing you know, everything on their Facebook is about, you know, is quotes from the Bible, and then when they talk to you about it, you need to be going to church, and they wonder where you are on Wednesday nights for the church stuff, and you're like, hey man, you haven't been out of the bar for 10 years, but now all of a sudden I'm the bad guy, right? It's kind of the same thing, and when you quit something but you don't kick the habit, you never really get over it. So you're constantly finding problems in other people. Look at those people over there smoking. God. Oh, my God. You'll see somebody driving down the street smoking in their car. Oh, my God. Can you believe they do that? Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't ever smoke in my car. Back when I was smoking, that was one thing that I would not do, is smoke in my car. For God bless. Why would you want to smoke in your car? Reek. You'd be reeking the whole time, unable to breathe, feeling like crap. And it's funny because I was like, I just never wanted to do that. But the funny thing is that when I did stop smoking, so let's talk about the second time, because this is all going to make sense. So let's go back. The first time I quit smoking for 7 years. And then I started doing some work in a rehabilitation center, rehab center. And I was interviewing some folks that were in there for various reasons, whether it was for pill addiction, cocaine, heroin, alcoholism, whatever it was. I was in there doing some interviews. And through a process of several weeks, I was there meeting with folks. And if you've ever been in rehab, or if you've ever been in a rehab facility meeting with folks, at least back then, still there's several rehabs, but a lot of people smoke. The majority of people in rehab that are currently enrolled in rehab smoke cigarettes, okay? It's the one thing they can do. It's not illegal, and there's a ton of smoking going on, okay? And I remember I was in these meetings, and I'm sitting there, and you know, this is years ago, back then, you in these rehabs, you could smoke in certain rooms. And so when you're meeting with people, they could smoke. And I remember one time I was meeting with like 5 or 6 different people at a time, and they literally all lit up at one time. I could barely breathe. I was like, it was like hotboxing in that room. And so I remember a couple of days went by with that same scenario, and I was like, you know what? I haven't smoked in 7 years. Give me a cigarette. I'll have one. And everybody's like, sure, here. And I remember I lit the cigarette, and I took a puff out of that cigarette like I had been smoking since, like I had never quit. Like, it'd be like somebody that hasn't drank in 7 years gets a shot of whiskey and just swallows it straight and goes, yeah, let me get another one. I mean, that's how I was drinking. I was like, what am I up to? What is going on? So I took a couple of puffs off the cigarette. And about 3 minutes in, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad. I felt green. I felt like I was going to get really violently projectile vomiting sick, and it was bad. And I looked at everybody and said, hey, I gotta take off, I'm gonna have to come back tomorrow. And they're like, you don't look so good, are you okay? You kind of look pale. And I was like, well, I hadn't smoked in 7 years, and I smoked half of that cigarette like I've been smoking this whole time, and I feel really bad. I mean, kind of the room was spinning and stuff, and it was not a good idea. And I think it was a pretty strong cigarette to begin with. So I pack up my stuff, I get in the car, I put my seatbelt on, and I drive out. And as I'm driving home, there's a Whole Foods that's there, and I pull into the Whole Foods, and I go down like their pharmaceutical aisle, you know, with all the potions and stuff. And I look for stuff for nausea. So I grab some stuff for nausea, some ginger, some this, some that. Yeah, none of it really helped, by the way. But anyway, it was a good idea. So I was, you know, drinking the ginger liquid and taking this and taking that on the way home. And I remember I was sick. Next day, woke up feeling fine. And most people would say, hey, you know, you did it. You're past it. Now let's stop. Well, you know, but some people, you know, that's being a quitter. That's being a quitter. And I wasn't about to be a quitter, even though I was spending a lot of time in rehab. It's kind of supposed to be a joke. Anyway, so I went back over there, and sure enough, next day I started smoking. And I smoked for about 3 years, 2.5, 3 years. And that 2.5, 3 years of smoking, I was back to normal. I wasn't only back to normal. I literally was at a conference, and this was right before I quit. I was at a conference in California. I was actually getting some additional hours for coaching, and I was there for about a month, and every day going to these classes starting early morning, and the classes started at 8 and went till about 8 p.m. every night. And I did the thing that I had never done before. I started smoking in the morning. Yes, you heard it right here on Live Your True Life Perspectives. I started smoking in the morning. So I'd wake up, you know, take a shower, get ready, and, you know, get over to the campus. And, you know, obviously I wasn't smoking in the rental car. Okay, get out of, you know, park the car. And after I parked the car, I would light up that first cigarette, and I was smoking Parliament's Ultralights at that point. I'd gone from Marlboro Lights to Parliament Regulars to Parliament Ultralights. And anybody that's gone through that succession of cigarettes knows why you do it, because you keep getting lesser and lesser. And if I do the lights, then it's better for me. And then the Parliaments were kind of cool, and they had that funky little hole in the filter, and that's kind of kitschy. And so, yeah, so I was smoking those. And I remember hanging out there with like 3 or 4 other people that were in the class, and they smoked in the morning too. So between us four, everybody had cigarettes. We were always bumming off each other. You got some Parliaments? Oh, I got some Parliaments. Here, you got me yesterday. Here, I got you today. No, that's cool. Hey, you got a lighter? Okay, my lighter's out of fluid. I left mine at the house. Okay, so we became buddies. And this was like a whole month of morning smoking. I mean, seriously. And then the folks that were our teachers and the professors, they were smokers too. So they'd come out and smoke with us. So we had like this, the cool group, the cool kids were smoking. So I was in the cool crowd, and I liked that as well. And so for that whole month, every morning at 8 a.m., I was smoking. And on break, you know, we'd have a break at like 11, and then at lunch, 1 o'clock, and then at the next break, and then, you know, you'd have a couple more breaks, get out, walk, you know, and but then I started getting like, you know, this is not good for me. Like, the one thing I told myself is when I start to become a morning smoker, I've got to cut it out. That is when I have become fully addicted. And I wasn't drinking coffee at that time. I didn't start drinking coffee until recently, and I'll talk about that too. But that was like my wake up. So I would drink a bunch of water and smoke a bunch of cigarettes, and that totally worked out for me. So as I go through this class, and it's about 2 or 3 days before we're done, and I'm heading back to Dallas. I had gotten a deal to come on a TV show in town, and you know, talk about, you know, I think they wanted to talk about depression or something like that, and how to coach people and how to help them overcome depression. And so, you know, I said, yeah, it'd be great. I said, what time do you want me on the show? And, you know, it's a morning, early morning show. And they said, well, we need you here by 4:30 in the morning, and then you'll go on at 5:30 a.m., okay? And for someone that's not really a true early morning person, that was tough, okay? But I was thinking in my head, hey, at least I got my cigarettes. You know, I can smoke. I'll just start smoking 3 hours earlier, 4 hours earlier. So I'm in California. I'm still going through the classes. And the night before the last night, I started getting like a cough and stuff. I started coughing, started feeling kind of bad, not feeling very good. And I said, you know what? I don't even know. I'm sure the cigarette smoking is aiding and abetting and me not feeling that good. And I said, you know, I got to quit this. I never really started because I wanted to. I started out of convenience. I started because other people were smoking. And that was a sign to me that I had never really truly quit. Because if I had truly quit and kicked the habit, I would have never started smoking just because I was surrounded by it. I would have been able to say either, hey, I got to go outside and we can talk, or y'all got to quit smoking because I can't breathe, or it doesn't bother me. Okay. And so that last night, I remember as I'm smoking a cigarette, I kind of felt in my head that was going to be the last cigarette that I ever smoked. And funny enough, it was. And so that was kind of interesting. And I woke up the next day, and obviously I had several packs of cigarettes and lighters, and I was like not feeling good. But I'm like, let me take this as my chance to quit. Let me take this as a chance to quit. Now, if it works, great. If it doesn't, well, okay. But I'd like this to work. And if you're already not feeling well and you don't want to smoke, it's a perfect time to start to quit. Okay. So that's what I did. When I returned, I'll be talking more about how I did it and how I truly kicked the habit instead of just quitting. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I'm talking about either quitting or kicking the habit. Have you truly kicked the habit on something, or have you merely just quit? I know, it's a big deal. It's a big question, because when I quit smoking the first time, and I talked about this a little earlier, when I quit smoking the first time, I quit for 7 solid years. But the interesting part about it is I truly hadn't kicked the habit. And I know why. Because of a lot of things that was going on. I know because when I had quit, people around me smoking bothered me. Okay, that's a good sign that you haven't kicked the habit, you have merely quit. When people around you are smoking or drinking or whatever, and it bothers you, it gets to you. Okay, when you have totally kicked the habit, it doesn't bother you anymore, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's not about them. And it doesn't get to you. You don't have these cravings or needs anymore. It just doesn't get to you. It's also interesting, too, because when you've only merely quit, you have a tendency of making a lot of comments. A lot of comments about other people doing it. Look at them over there. Look at them. Can you believe that? Over there just smoking at the restaurant. It's just so uncool. You know, and it was like you smoking at the restaurant like 2 months ago. I remember the first time, before I quit the first time, I was brazen in smoking. I prided myself on being the one person that would smoke in a place that nobody else had ever smoked at. You know, and that you get caught and they go, ma'am, if you don't mind, this is a non-smoking facility. Could you go outside and smoke? And I was like, yeah, I probably want one of a million people that have been here that actually smoked almost a whole cigarette before I got caught. I remember, this was the first time when I was smoking when I was young. I remember being on planes going to Mexico where you could smoke in the back 2 rows. Yeah. I was like 18 with a clove cigarette. You can hear it crackling in the background, smoking the whole way. That is so mean. And it's so rude. Like, the life was all about me. The world rotated around me, around my son, and that was the deal. And I know if y'all are like true smokers, anybody that's listening that has been a true smoker, we prided ourselves in that kind of stuff. Well, the second time, I didn't do that. The second time I started smoking, I was always outside. I mean, it got bad because toward the end of my smoking, because I smoked for almost 3 years on the second time, I felt so bad about smoking that I was like, I had like my whole body language was funny. Like I would stand outside in a building to smoke and I had my back turned to anybody walking out. I had my body toward the wall so people couldn't see me. It was like I felt bad about smoking, but I didn't want to deal with the reality that I felt bad about it. You know, I mean, it was almost like, you know, when you see people that you run into that are cheating on their spouse and instead of keeping their head held high with whatever chick is with them, they put their head down and kind of go, yeah, yeah, I'll see you later. And they kind of run out because they feel bad. Not only do they just get caught, but they don't feel good about what they just did. Okay. And it was the same thing with my smoking. I felt bad about it. I felt bad about being a smoker. I didn't want to be a smoker anymore. I lost that desire to smoke everywhere. I lost that desire to be the one mig that got to smoke at the Meyerson Symphony Hall or whatever place that I got to smoke at that nobody ever got to smoke at. At least it was never disclosed of. But yeah, I lost that desire. And so toward the end, like I was talking about, those last few days, I was like, you know, I wasn't feeling that good and it was time to make a change. And I said, you know what? This is a perfect time. And for anybody out there smoking still, the next time you get sick, where you're coughing and hacking, you got a sore throat, quit. Quit. If it doesn't work permanently, that's fine, but give it a chance. You will be amazed how easy it becomes when you quit for over a week, especially for a week where you've been sick, and then find yourself a backup. So if you need some sort of nicotine inhalant or something like that, if you need occasionally to overcome some of the withdrawals, great. I'm not against that. Okay, you don't have to go cold, but don't turn that into a crutch as well. I see these e-cigarettes become people's crutches. You don't even know what's in that stuff. I mean, at least with the cigarettes, you know there's a bunch of crap in there. But I mean, that stuff, they're selling it like it's organic, and it's not organic, okay? They're not making organic vape. I don't even know what's in that stuff. It's probably crystallizing people's lungs, and they don't even realize it. I've seen people just vaping all the time. Like, they can't quit vaping. It's like, dude, I mean, go back to cigarettes, for God's sakes. I mean, you haven't quit anything. You just changed apparati. For whatever. So the last days there in California, that last night I had my cigarette, and I kind of assumed that was going to be the last cigarette, and it was. And I haven't had a cigarette since, and that was a while back, okay? That was a while back. And it was interesting because I flew back into Dallas that day, that morning. And got all stuff together. I remember I'd gotten my clothes to the dry cleaning. I was getting ready because I was going to be on TV. Actually, no, that's not right. I flew in late that night, and then I had to get up at, went to bed almost like at midnight, and I was still on California time, and I'd been in California for over a month, and I had to be up and at the station by 4:30 that morning, and my makeup artist was coming to meet me over there, and she was funny, because we'd been on the phone, and I had told her that I quit. She's like, well, I'll quit with you, and I go, I'm not asking you to quit with me, but if you want to, that's fine, and so she walked in, reeking of cigarette smoke because it was cold. And anytime in the winter, if you're a smoker, you know that when you're outside smoking, it just, that smoke sticks to you. I don't know what it is, but it just sticks to you. In the summer, not so much, but in the winter, it's like you can smell it on everything. And she's like, oh, Ashley, I'm so sorry. I started smoking. And I was like, hey, it's no big deal. I go, I'm the one that quit smoking. You said you're going to quit. No big deal. That's your life. You know, I'm quitting for me. And I didn't realize at the time that it wasn't bothering me at all. And the smell, which was funny, didn't bother me either. But I kind of caught it for a second, but I was too busy trying to think, you know, hey, I got to be on TV in a second. And I had used cigarettes as a crutch for so long, for as a thinking tool. That's why I started smoking in the morning, because I was using it as a thinking tool, like a tool to think. When I'd start smoking in the morning, I'd come up with these genius ideas. Okay, so I should write this, and then for the class, I should do this. And wow, it was like the information was just flowing. And so I started getting scared because I go, what if I get cold out there without cigarettes? I got no cigarette. What if my mind slows down? What if something stops? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my. So she's doing the makeup and everything. She's like, do I need to wash my hands again? I go, no, no, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even bother me. I go, it doesn't even smell that bad. Very funny, right? Right then and there, I looked at the green room and I saw coffee. And I didn't drink coffee. And never a good idea to start something new before you go on TV. But it didn't really bother me that bad. But I had a couple sips of coffee. Ugh, wasn't very good. And anyway, I ended up going on the show. Everything went great. Everything went great. And I remember leaving there, and I was talking to my friend, the makeup artist, when we were leaving. And she's like, you know, I really apologize again. And I go, you know, funny enough, it doesn't bother me. And she's like, really? She goes, I can even smell me. I mean, she's like, but it doesn't bother you? I go, no. I said, maybe it's just you. So later on that day, I ran into an old friend of mine. It was about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, and it was cold, you know, and he's like, hey, can you come outside with me when we were at this restaurant? He goes, I need to smoke a cigarette. So I came outside, and he was smoking a cigarette. I'm sitting on the bench with him. And it was funny because it didn't bother me. Like, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe I am sitting there. And I finally said, you know what? This is wild. This is wild. I can't believe it. I'm actually sitting here hanging out. And he's like, wow, you quit? And I go, yeah, I quit the day before. And he's like, man, that's amazing. You can sit here while I'm smoking? And he was kind of kidding around. He goes, you want a cigarette? I was like, come on, man. I said, but no, I really don't want one. And he's like, well, you know, what if I offered you a cigarette? I was like, I have a pack of cigarettes in my purse with a lighter. I don't need your cigarettes. I don't even like your cigarettes. I got my own, but I don't want one. And that's when I knew that I had officially quit. When I had officially kicked the habit. And that's when I realized that before this, the last time, I hadn't kicked the habit. I had just stopped smoking for some time. And it made all the difference in the world because this time I wanted to quit for me. It wasn't my husband pointing out somebody in a parking lot. It wasn't me scared about, you know, looking old and dying early. It was me saying, hey, I'm going to quit for good. And if it doesn't take, okay, but I'm going to work really hard. And I'm going to overcome this addiction. And I did. And I'm not going to tell you that it was all roses. I mean, there was some time that was tough. I mean, like the thought processes and not feeling as clear-headed as I wanted to. But that went away eventually. And I would say after 2 or 3 months, you're pretty good. You're in good shape. You're out of the weeds. You're doing great. And you begin to get compliments from people, too. And it's funny, after you quit, you start getting compliments for years after. It's wild. Stay tuned when I return to be talking more about this, more about how to kick the habit. Check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com, and live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I'm talking about noticing and recognizing when someone or yourself has actually kicked the habit of something that you've been addicted to. Merely, most of the time, we quit. We quit, and we're kicking and screaming as we quit. We're angry about it, and that results in really not necessarily getting past the addiction, just not doing it. And if you've ever had a chance like I did, I've had second chances, and I got to do it again. I started up smoking like I was talking about, smoked for almost 3 years, and quit again, and that was ultimately a life changer. I can literally be in a circle of people smoking, and it doesn't bother me. I have no want or desire to start smoking. I don't even think about it. Like, it's not even in my thought process anymore. It's just not. And I think when you finally get to that point where you finally completely kick the habit, it just changes everything. it changes everything. And this could relate to anything. This could be alcohol, drinking, eating, smoking, even gossiping, for God's sakes. It could be whatever it is that you want to quit, that you want to get past, that's no longer helping you, or you want to move on and grow. And like I was talking about, when you've merely quit, we often look at others and judge other people based on what they're doing. And usually that's the stuff we were doing before we quit. So what makes us the judge, jury, and executioner for everybody around us? Well, it's because we still want to do it. And we're upset and we're having a tantrum that we're not actually getting to do that at all. But when we've actually kicked the habit, when other people are doing it, we don't find any judgment. We don't find any anger. We aren't upset about the whole thing. It doesn't bother us. I mean, maybe in the back of our minds, we're like, well, maybe they'll eventually kick the habit, but it's their life to live, not ours. And it doesn't make us want one. We just go, you know, they'll come to the decision of overcoming that when they want to. And it has nothing to do with me. When you finally kick the habit, you can be around others and not want it. And I think a lot of it is based on the fact that you have determined and found a new life perspective. You've begun to realize that there's more to life than this, and you have embraced a healthier lifestyle. And it's like a change in your whole thought process. And you actually chose it for yourself. And that's what's such a big deal. And I think that's what resonates with me when it's about kicking the habit, is that you did it for you. You didn't do it because, you know, mom or dad or husband or wife, you know, spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend wanted you to do it, or your job wanted you to do it, or whoever. You did it because of you. Or you didn't do it, or your doctor wanted you to do it. You did it because of you. And when you take on that initiative and do that and take on the leadership role, you really can't fail. And even if you go backwards and start smoking again for a little while, I think usually it clicks into the reason why you want to quit. And I think that's what's so dynamic about this. And I think if you're looking at your own life right now and evaluating these things in your life, it gets really interesting. It gets really interesting because when I kicked the habit years ago, I don't have a desire for it. I've had clients that have come in my office that want to quit drinking, they want to stop doing pain pills, they want to stop smoking, and they have done it. And they've done it because it's not about this cold turkey, kick your own butt, you know, no way out, because that's kind of setting yourself up for failure. What it is having an accountability partner. And if you need someone outside of yourself to be an accountability partner, finding someone like me that you can talk with that can help you focus on what truly matters. Because when you're thinking about these kind of things like smoking and drinking and all that stuff, you know, the one thing we don't have a lot of is time, right? And the second most valuable thing that we need is health, right? Because you can have all the time that you want, but if you're not healthy, what does that do? You know, if you think about it, if you're not healthy, or if you have all the health but you don't have any time, that kind of sucks too, God. But those are the two things that matter. And so what are the things that take away from our healthy lifestyle? Smoking, drinking, pill popping, drugs, right? Overeating. I mean, and if you think about it, these things can take away from our quality of life and our life longevity and our lifespan so much that it really is, to some of us, public enemy number one. And when you begin to think about it in that rationale, all of a sudden, it's not, oh, I have an occasional cigarette after I drink. It's like, you know what? This is stupid. I'm better than this. I don't need this to be me. I don't need this to be my defining factor. I got to move on. And so some tips for you, if any of you out there are listening and would like to quit something and need to be held to it, because a lot of times we can have the best of intentions and our intent is one of the most important things, because that leads to our purpose. So having that intent, that direct intent, but having someone to help, like a life coach or a therapist that can help you. And it really goes a long way to having that accountability, to having someone champion you, to having someone cheerlead you, because it's nice to hear, wow, I'm so proud of you. Keep it up. You know, I have some clients right now that are on massive cleanse diets and not drinking at all. And this is a big step for them, and they're doing an amazing job. And they like doing that because they begin to realize that their lives and their bodies and their minds are important, and their health is important. And they also like the fact that somebody sees that and is constantly cheering them on, because it's nice to have a cheering section. You know, another thing too, when you're ready to quit, is that, you know, heck, if you go back and you start smoking a little bit, it's not the end of the world. Don't judge yourself. Don't make yourself feel bad, because any type of progress in a positive light is good progress. To actually want to quit is the first step on your own. And to begin the process, that's success. That's not failure. You know, people talk about, well, I failed. Well, did you do something? You did, right? You tried, right? You actually went out there and did it. That's not failure to me. Failure to me is not doing anything, a failure to act. When you act with positive intent and own your life and own it, that to me is a success story. Even if you fall off the wagon for a second, pick yourself back up, because you did it once, you can do it again. Last but not least, you owe it to yourself to eliminate anything in your life that is not complementary to you. Find those things, work on it, start a journal, start writing the stuff that you want to get done in your life, and start looking at what's standing in your way. I hope this show finds you healthy and happy. Check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com. You can click on that contact page and send me a message, and I'll get right back with you. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back in three shakes.